You bless us today and that you would speak to us about our involvement and commitment as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to start by reading together the litany that is in your bulletin. Come to the vineyard and look at this vine. But that branch is fruitless, this one's diseased. The vineyard of Christians is much like that vine. But look in your heart, is there fruit or disease? Sounds like Horton Hears a Who. There's a lot of truth in that little limerick. We're going to look at the fruits of our own produce today. What fruits do you produce? What fruits do you produce as a follower of Jesus? Do you produce any? Or do you cast your fruit before it's time? In order to produce spiritual fruit, we need to be attached to Jesus. So the question is, are you? Read with me John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he is using the example of the grapevine as an example of being attached to him. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Let's read it together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus here uses a vivid picture to spell out clearly his relationship to his people and our relationship to him. The relationship is one of a vine and its branches, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus states that the life of the branch depends upon the vine. The vine provides the branch with nourishment and life, and the purpose of the branch is to use its life and nourishment to produce fruit. If the branch is not attached to the vine, it is not only doesn't produce anything, it dies, it withers. And the branch that does not produce, even though it is related and attached to the vine, is cut off and thrown into the fire because it doesn't produce fruit. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Are you attached to Jesus or not? If you are attached, do you produce fruit or not? The application to our spiritual lives is really rather pointed here. Our life now and eternally is dependent upon Jesus, who is the Christ, and our relationship with him. Our life is to be used to produce fruit for him. This is a place where we produce fruit, by the way, the church. And it is the place of attachment. And all of our giving is part of that fruit for Jesus. If we're living for ourselves, we don't produce spiritual fruit. Our lives are unproductive. So how is your fruit of giving these days? Jesus uses the grapevine as his example of relationship. I have a friend of mine who died not too long ago who has a song who expresses this very well. think you'd hear that in church, did you? We do those too. Actually, the song is a pretty good picture of the body of Christ and being attached. News travels fast. Sometimes I think that news is the only thing that travels faster than the speed of light. News can really travel fast through a church. And the reason is we are community, and we are kind of like a living organism, and we are also the body of Christ, but we are the vine and branches together. We also like those branches on that grapevine, so the news in the church travels along the grapevine into the various individual branches that we are, or groups that we are, and it has always been a very vivid picture to me, and the song I heard it through the grapevine is so true of churches. So I got another group together, dressed them up so that you can understand this a little bit better.
California raisins from the California vineyards.
Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Sounds better than what I got.
Too bad I didn't have them up here, you know. It's a pretty good picture of someone who isn't attached very good to the body of Christ. A lot of times they kind of like those prune-ish raisins. Anyway, I don't tell stories on you people very often because I'm not a fool. And I get myself in all kinds of hot water. I don't need the hassle. I get myself in enough of that as it is. But I want to tell you a story. It's a vivid example of not being very attached at all. And this is a story about a guy down in Kentucky when I was at that church for 23 years down there. He just was not very attached to the church. He thought he was. He thought he was something, but he was actually very rarely in church at all. So even if I were to tell it down there, he probably wouldn't have heard about it. We had a guy working for us by the name of Bill Hoover down there, and he worked for the church for about 10 years as custodian. And he took care of the church, and he was there for 10 years. Anyway, about 7 years into his work time with us, this guy came into the church, and he had to talk to me about something, and I have no idea what he wanted to talk about. I knew it was trivial, whatever it was. But we were walking down the hall towards the gymnasium in the church, and he walks in there, and he sees this guy sitting at a desk, and he said, "Bill? Bill Hoover, is that you?" Bill said, "Yeah, that's me." He says, "Bill, what are you doing here?" He says, "Well, I work here, Fred." And he says, "I do the janitor work. I'm the custodian around here." He said, "Really? Well, how long have you been working here?" And Bill said, "About 7 years." Now, there's a man who isn't really attached to the church, even though he said he was. His name was on the roll. He hadn't very much at all through the grapevine. He's also the same guy. At one time, I was, I don't know what I was preaching on, but I know that it sure did mess me up. He had cataract surgery in one eye, and so he came in with a magnifying glass, big old man, and he would hold it up so he could see me, and then sit in the back of the church, and I looked out there, and all I saw was a great big eye, and it just kind of, it threw me, something fierce. Same guy, I don't know, but anyway, I will always remember Fred. I didn't see him very often, nor did he see me very often either. But anyway, I know that hearing is also a spiritual problem with some people in the church. Those of us, of you who can hear the spiritual truth of what I'm about to say today, then you're attached. And those who don't hear or don't see the spiritual truth behind it probably aren't attached to the true vine, who is Jesus. The reason is, if you aren't attached to the vine, you can't hear the messages like nourishment that come down the vine into the branches. You're cut off. If you hear, you're at least attached. If you can't hear, only the Spirit of God can attach you. So this message could mean nothing. Now, I don't know if you can hear Marvin Gaye singing that. I heard it through the grapevine. If you hear anything else this morning, spiritually speaking, you can say, I heard it through the grapevine. Jesus used the grapevine as a vivid example of his relationship to us, our relationship to him. Now, grapevine is a very productive plant as it spreads out its branches. Each is intended to bring forth the fruit of the vine. So no vine grower is foolish enough to invest his time and effort in cultivating vines merely for the leaves on the branches. He looks for results. He's looking for fruit. And as the branches of Jesus in the kingdom of God, we're expected to produce the fruits of spiritual life, spiritual fruit. If you aren't attached to Jesus, you can't even hear the message. You can't hear it through the grapevine, so to speak. But if you are attached, you can hear the message coming from the vine, who is Jesus. I'm just his voice up here, actually. I'm his messenger. What's going on in the orchard of your life? What's in your fruit basket? What are you producing? Now, nothing goes on unless Jesus is the vine of our lives, and without a firm connection to him, there's absolutely no possibility for us to produce fruit. Does the risen Christ walk with you every day? Is Jesus a part of your everyday life all the time? That's what it means to be connected to him as our vine, to him, to allow him access, entry, and presence into us, within us. Now, if anything is going on in the orchards of our lives, if anything is in our fruit baskets, it's because Jesus walks with us every step of the way. He abides in us. We abide in him. The word abide that Jesus used here means to remain with or live in or dwell, reside, lodge, and even travel with someone. It also means to last, to endure, survive, outlive, persevere. To abide means you outlive us, basically. Does your fruit go beyond your generation to your children? Is it the fruit of Christ? Or is it just human fruit? To abide also means to expect something, to wait for, to anticipate something. To abide in Christ means to wait for the fruits of the relationship. The fruits of Christ's presence begin to appear as he finds a home within us. He brings about change in attitude in us, vitality, spiritual strength begins to grow in us as a healthy and vigorous vine bears good fruit on the branches. So the fruit of Christ's presence in our lives begins to grow in us. As more and more we become one with Jesus, then comes the fruit. First the blossom, then that small immature fruit, finally the mature fruit. And Jesus says, he who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What a powerful truth is given to us. Jesus did not say it would be the best educated or the wealthiest or the highly talented or the gifted who would produce spiritual fruit in life's orchard. In order to produce fruit, there is only one essential requirement, and that is to abide in the vine, to be connected to Jesus in terms of our lives. Jesus also speaks a powerful truth when he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, there's a terrible warning for those who are attached and can hear the word that comes through the grapevine today. If you can hear this and you are not producing fruit, Father God will cut you off the vine. And folks, that means hell. It's hell on earth, hell eternal, abandonment by God. I want you to think about this. What if God turns his back on you? To be cast from the presence of Jesus. The other truth here, for those of you who can hear it through the grapevine, is that if you produce fruit, Father God will prune you. He will cut you back on occasion so that you don't get too leafy and are able to produce more fruit. Now, we don't like to be pruned. It hurts. It cuts off part of our lives. It's a part that is very natural to us, but it really is an unproductive part of our lives, but we may like it a lot. We don't like God for God to trim us up and cut some of the natural things off. He might trim our schedules. He removes certain pleasures. He cuts off relationships that are unproductive. But nice, they're nice. Ever had a relationship like that? So tell me, what's in your fruit basket these days? Are you producing ripe, juicy plums, or are you turning into an old shrunken prune or a California raisin? What's in your fruit basket these days? Maybe you don't even know what the fruit that Jesus is talking about here really is. Well, let's look at some of the fruit that we produce if we have Jesus dwelling in us and we live in him. I have Galatians 5:22-23. It gives you a list of the fruit. We hear this scripture quite regularly. So let's read it together. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, if you look at the front cover of your bulletin, there's a couple of things that I want you to know. This is basically out of the King James Version. Long-suffering is patience. Meekness down there is really kindness. And temperance on the front is really self-control. Okay, are any of these in your basket, fruits, today, every day? These are the fruits of being a branch of Jesus. These are fruits producing the very life of God through us towards others. Now, I have given lots of sermons on all these fruits at one time or another, but let me go through them with you briefly. Do you have the fruit of love? What is love? Well, what does love do? Simply, love is that which produces life. What is love? Jesus, who loved us enough to die for us, gave us life. It was his love for us that gave us eternal life. And does that love of God in you, the fruit of love in you, give life to the people around you? Do you bring people to life, either eternally or just in the situations of your daily actions? The fruit of love produces life. It is life-giving. Do you produce the fruit of joy? What is joy? Well, I think that love, that joy is the emotion evoked because of well-being or the prospect of possessing what one desires. God's joy is the presence of the Lord in our lives, which gives us a sense of well-being. Everything's okay. Things may not be okay in terms of the environment in which we live. There may be storms about us in all kinds of ways, but we have a sense of God's presence, and we are okay. We have the joy of the Lord. Do you produce the fruit of joy for those around you to receive? When you are present, do you bring the presence of God into a situation? Do you have a sense of well-being that everything will be okay, and you bring that sense of joy into those relationships that you have? That's the fruit of joy. Do you produce the fruit of peace? The fruit of peace is the state of tranquility, quiet, and freedom from strife. That's what peace is, freedom from strife. Is your life internally at peace? When you are involved with other people, do you bring strife? Do you bring argument? Do you bring hostility? Or are you a peacemaker? Peace is the state of well-being behind joy, and in order to produce the fruit of peace, we need to be at peace inside of ourselves, and the only way that we can be at peace internally is to abide in Christ and then let the peace of Christ abide in us, and it is only then that we begin to produce the fruit of peace for others in our life situations. How about patience? You produce the fruit of patience. Fruit of patience is the ability to bear pains and trials in life. The fruit of patience is the ability to exercise self-restraint and to control oneself when provoked. The fruit of patience is to hold back, to leave alone when pushed. Do you produce the fruit of patience, or do you cast this fruit early before it is mature? The fruit of patience is only produced as Jesus abides in us, and we learn the truth of how patient and long-suffering God is really, truly with us. We learn so slowly as His people. We see we mess up so often. The fruit of patience really begins to develop in us when we see how patient God is with us. It's then that we become patient with others. How about kindness? Is kindness in your fruit basket? There's a great deal of truth in the prayer of the little girl who prayed, "Lord Jesus, make all the bad people good and make all the good people nice or kind." You know, kindness is to have a sympathetic nature. It's focused on being helpful and full of concern. The word kindness is a derivative of the word kin, and kin is someone with a common ancestry. To be kind has to do with concern and help for someone who is related to you. The fruit of kindness comes from the fact that Jesus became like us. He became a man to be kin to us, to redeem us. The fruit of kindness is love that becomes kind to someone and kin to someone to bring help. Unless you abide in the vine, kindness towards others is hard to come by, because it is a fruit of kinship that helps and is concerned. Do you produce the fruit of goodness? What is goodness anyway? Well, best I can come up with are words like bountiful and fertile, like a good land or a good person. Wholesome, honorable, skillful, competent are words that goodness relates to. Goodness has to do with worth or reliability or well-behaved, like a good child. Goodness is the state of being good. It's a quality of blessing. I looked goodness up in the dictionary, and one of the most profound meanings, though, of the word goodness is that it is nutritious, flavorful, or beneficial part of something. So the fruit of goodness would be the nutritious, flavorful, and beneficial part of the vine, which produces the fruit. The fruit of goodness is that which tastes good, which produces growth in those who eat that fruit. Do you bring flavor? Do you bring growth? Do you bring benefits to those you touch with your life? What about faithfulness? The fruit of faithfulness is a matter of consistency, producing the feeling of being able to count upon you. Are you loyal? Can people count on you? Or do you produce the fruit of non-reliability? Faithfulness is something that comes down the vine and is produced when people can count on us. Being faithful or loyal or true or constant, steadfast, resolute, consistent in your relationships with Jesus produces the fruit of faithfulness in our relationships with people, the people that are around us, we work with, we live with, we go to church with, and it keeps the other fruits from rotting. Do you produce gentleness? The fruit of gentleness is a fruit that is free from harshness or violence or hostility or sternness or even judgment. Gentleness is healing for those who are full of fear or are wounded by life's viciousness. Gentleness is soft to the touch. Jesus was gentle with those who needed that gentle touch. Are you attached to the vine? Do you produce the fruit of gentleness? Gentleness, is it in your fruit basket? How about self-control? Self-control is the ability to control or restrain your own impulses, emotions, and desires. You know, a car may go fast, but if it doesn't have any brakes, it ain't going to be much good to you. As Jesus wrestled with temptation, he was able to bring his humanity under the direction of the Spirit of God. Do you produce this fruit of the Spirit of God when you are tempted? Or do you give in to yourself? Do you allow your impulses and emotions and desires to wreak havoc on your life and also the lives of those that are around you? Now, there you have it. So what's in your fruit basket? Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." The proof of whether you or I are disciples is in the fruit that we produce. One thing more about fruit. Contained within the fruit are the seeds that produce the fruit. In apples are apple seeds. In oranges are orange seeds. In the fruit of love are the seeds of love. In the fruit of joy are the seeds of joy. In peace, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control, you bring the seeds with you that bring forth these fruits in other people. I'd like first to close by reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Jesus is talking here. This would be read if you have one of those Bibles. Here we go. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree can bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits." Now it says here about false prophets. A prophet is a voice. That's all a prophet really is. We are all prophets in our own right. We are either prophets for ourselves or for our ways or ourself or others. We might be a prophet for the world's ways of living or for our company or for our church. We might be a prophet for our kids. A prophet is an advocate and a voice for someone or something. The test of people is one of fruits, what we produce. Jesus said it twice. He said, "You'll know them by their fruits." I will know you by your fruits. You will know me by my fruits. The proof of whether you or I are disciples is in the fruit that we produce. Let's read this litany one more time at the front of this thing. And we'll do it responsively again. Come to the vineyard and look at this vine. But that branch is fruitless. This one's diseased. The vineyard of Christians is much like that vine. But look in your heart, is there fruit or disease? So what have you produced? What's in your fruit basket? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help us to live.